Thank you so much. I'm honored to be a presenter for this session. I started this new position in 2017. It's still brand new for this position. What my goal is try to develop a sustainable horticulture program for Utah. At this moment, I would like to give you a little bit of brief introduction about Utah. You know, Utah is a dry place with only 14 inches rainfall, which places Utah the third place among 10 driest states in the United States. So water is, a thin topic, in Utah. A lot of efforts are made for, reuse water and conserve water. So, and even our governor called the citizen, to save water by 25% by 2025. Another issue is for Utah is, we have a rapid population growth since 2010. We are the number one in the nation with almost 15% of the growth. And, even in 2018, we still have 1.9% of the population growth, which is the third place among the nation. So if this continuous growth, so we're going to have 5.8 million people by 2060, which increased about 65% from 2010. So there is a huge demand for water. So if we look at the residential water use, 64% of water goes to outdoors. And I think a significant portion of the water can be saved if we use the right plants for people to use in the garden, if we can use the efficient irrigation technology, or if we can adopt the water efficient landscaping, xeriscaping, locuscaping practices and concepts. So this is going to be a huge saving for water. So as an assistant professor in landscape horticulture, I have 65% of the research appointment. With that, I would like to work on the plant response to different stresses, especially drought and salinity at the whole plant level. And I would like to also develop propagation protocols and develop some sustainable horticulture practices for the water-efficient landscaping. And I do have 30% of the teaching appointment. I have been asked to teach plant stress physiology and applied statistics in the past year. And now this is actually a new class I have to develop. The good things in our department and the whole college, we have a college, so we can collaborate, we co-teach both of the classes. And I'm asked to teach plant propagation these four. Hopefully in the future, I'm going to take the lead in this plant propagation class. In addition to a class, I'm also active in mentoring for graduate students and also undergraduate student researcher. This time I brought two graduate students here and four undergraduate students research here for the conference. So they are presenting research we have done in Logan. And the undergraduate students are participated in the plant idea contest. So I think this conference experience are really useful, are really beneficial for them, and they can succeed in the future career. And everybody in the university got 5% of the service appointment. So at this time, I participated in some activities in our department, and also in the future, hopefully we can participate in some activities in the college and the university. And I'm active in the society here. So in terms of my research, I'm doing some drought tolerance study. Actually, this is the one I'm going to start in this year because this is going to be in the field. It takes a lot of time to establish. When we look at the drought tolerance, we have several approaches to do that. One of the research approach is the field trial, and this is the trial I established in Texas, where I have been worked for more than 6 years. And in this trial, we planted 24 different pomegranate cultivars. And another way is using the Now, notice there to weigh the containers, and these nice settings actually, you know, did by Dr. Bruce Bugbee at our university, and they published the one article in Water Science this year. And I'm more interested in using sensor-controlled technology for the drought. And actually, a lot of people in this country did many researches, especially at University of Georgia. So when I was in PhD, I have worked on this technology. I have done some of the research since then. So that's just the irrigation system I established. And with this system, we can just provide irrigation to the plants based on their needs, so that we can increase the water use efficiency and reduce the runoff of the fertilizer and the pesticide, so we can protect our environment here. And that's just a diagram for this. I'm not going to go in detail of this, this system working is, you use the sensors to monitor soil moisture in the container, and with a data logger, you can record all those data and use a program to compare these data points to a setting point. So with that, you can determine the irrigation, turn on or turn off. So with that, you can maintain the soil moisture data at a certain range. So in Utah, I'm more interested in using this technology in large scale research. So this is some of the lysimeters my colleague established in 2004. After 15 years later, these plants are too big for us, for me to do any further research. So I got a small internal grant to work on this, and I'm going to just wrap up everything and then restart it, with the new sensors, with the new landscape design. So this is just the current status of this project. So, this I'm going to use a different landscape design. In these three different kinds of designs, we have high water use plants, and we have moderate water use plants, and then we have no water use plants. With that, we wanted to see if there is a difference about, in the water use in different landscape design. So this is going to be a long-term study. I'm going to separate this into two stages. One is the establishment, because as I observed, a lot of people just applied too much water, when they planted anything in the yard. So I wanted to see if we can, to help them to, to conserve some water. And then after their this establishment, I'm going to just, reduce the water applied to these lysimeters. Hopefully, I can see, how the plants respond to a different, drought. And there are weather stations existing in the area, and we will keep continuous to, continue to take data and see, we use the equation, permanent Monte's equation, to calculate the evapotranspiration. With the sensors, we can just, to monitor the water source moisture at four different levels, like 5 centimeter, 20, 40, 80 centimeter. I'm also again interested in using a mini rostron to look at the root growth of these different plants. Hopefully, we can use this data to select some of the drought tolerant plants for water efficient landscaping. A lot of people use drones, and with NDVI sensor, I think this is a nice technology. We can use that to correlate, some of the images, image data from the drone. With the water use of different plants in this kind of design. So hopefully we can find some good landscape design for people to adopt. So in the past 2 years, I spent a lot of time in salinity tolerance study, because this is the one we're doing in a greenhouse controlled environment. So probably better for me, because I'm working for tenure. I did a publication, so So what are we using, what do we do for this project? You know, we grow a bunch of plants in their greenhouse condition. We look at the plant performance. We look at the photosynthesis. We also look at the iron concentration in the leaf tissue. So with all this data, we can compare different plants to respond to a different salinity level. And use this data, we can select some plants that can tolerate the salinity. You know, I have been working on this one many years in Texas. You know, we screened about 150 different species and the cold was. And in Utah, I spent 2 years there, and I worked on ornamental grasses and also spireal, wild burner. This is the one. So the reason I chose these plants because, you know, in Utah landscape, you can see a lot of ornamental grasses used in the landscape. And also spireal and the wild burner, they used a lot. So, and if you look at the whole country, you know, these three type of plants, you know, they sold a lot. With the numbers there, you can see how much values they sold each year. So I think it's nice to look at these plants. You know, with the research I have done this, and you know, in the past 2 years, I have published 10 publications on these salinity issues. And two of them accepted already, and I still have two under review. So I just want to show you an example using the spireal, see how I did it. You know, spireal, we got a bunch of plants, like 12 different varieties from a nursery, you know, belong to 5 different species. You know, we reported them in one garden containers. You know, after they established it, we applied the 3 different treatment solutions. You know, one is the nutrient solution, just prepared with a fertilizer solution. And with that, we added sodium chloride and calcium chloride to make 2 different salinity levels. And, you know, each time we applied 1 liter solution to each container, which makes about 28% of the leachate. So this is some of the, you know, environmental data I just want to show you here. And this is how the plants looks like at the greenhouse, you know, this is the work we have done, we did last year. That's just some of the, you know, electrical conductivity of the leachate solution we monitored, you know, throughout the whole experiment. Each experiment we collect a lot of data, like plant growth data, you know, height, all kinds of stuff for the synthesis. And also, you know, we take leaf samples to do the mineral analysis. This is just a piece of data I wanted to show you that. You know, actually, you know, from at the lower table, you can see both texture and electrical conductivity, in a salinity level, you know, in the activity affected the plant growth here. And, you know, if you see the graph, you know, the irrigation water, you know, is reduced by your plant growth. And, you know, then when you look at the shoot dry weather data of these different varieties we tested in the green in the study, we see they have so much you know, significant you know, reductions in terms of the shoot dry weight, you know, when you applied the salinity at you know, EC3 and EC6. And those are some of the data. And this is just you know, the pictures that we took at the harvesting, and I probably want to show you here is you know from left to right is the contour and the EC3 and then EC6. And I wanted to start it from spireal, Sambogia. These plants just you know they died and after 4 times of the irrigation. And however, the Big Ben and the Gold, these 2 plants are, you know, they started to die after 6 times of the irrigation. However, you know, when they harvested, they all died. So, And some of the painted lady and the blue cartoon, those plants, you know, has a significant, you know, sort of damage. And the rest of them, you know, compared to the one I mentioned before, you know, they are much less. So with that, we also did some cluster analysis with that, you know, significant, you know, three different categories. You can see, you know, based on the visual score and the shooter drive with the data. But, you know, one general conclusion for that is when we compared these species for the for those species we tested before, this one is pretty moderate sensitive. It's not quite a sort of tolerant than the rest of them. And another area I'm working is, you know, we try to promote native plants for water efficient landscaping, and because this is an established program at Utah State University, and you know, we have several colleagues working on this, and they did many years of the selection, and they selected some very good varieties, and this is some of the selections that they planted on campus. As you see, they're just beautiful, and also you can see some of the varieties, you know, they have upright forms, which is nice for our water efficient landscaping, because, you know, they're from local, they're from they're already adapted to the environment, so we expect them they can do better in safe water and help us to conserve our water for the landscape. However, you know, when we try to promote those plants for in a green industry, we have to you know, to produce enough plants for them to trial. So you know, when I join in, I try to make a contribution to this existing program. So what I several approaches I did is, you know, using the seed propagation, cotton propagation, also tissue culture, you know, to try to propagate enough plants for them to trial. And this is just one protocol we established, and we try to still improve some of the stages, you know, with the with more research for this mahogany. And when we tried, when we planted those plants in the landscape, you see they have some issue. You know, some of the plants are not perform good. So this is a trial Marconic did. You know, as you see, there are some empty spots, which means they are died already. So what I'm thinking on this issue is maybe they couldn't develop well the symbiosis with bacteria or maybe other fungi, because you know, those plants are actinorhizal plants. So one of my students is working on this, is try to you know, isolate the bacteria from the wider population and then use this bacteria to inoculate, you know, the propagated plants, you know, from cuttings, from seeds, and hopefully we can see, you know, we try them in the greenhouse you know, conditions at this time. In the future, we would like to try them in nursery condition and also landscape, you know, planting to see if we can use this, you know, cultural practice to better grow them. And that's some of the I think some of the research I'm currently working on. In the future, I would like to, you know, expand it a little bit for some of the research. Maybe, you know, just try more salinity stuff and also conduct more research, you know, in native plants, and you know, to try to help my research. You know, that long-term goal of my research is try to select some of the stress-tolerant plants for the green industry. So hopefully, especially for the drought-tolerant plants and so salt-tolerant plants, and also promote the use of the native plants for green industry. Especially, we can establish some of the efficient propagation protocols, or develop some horticultural practice for them to use in the in the green industry. You know, with my teaching, I hope, you know, I try to give a lot of opportunities for us, for our students, you know, to go explore the research opportunities and also conference experience, also other research experience, and hopefully to help and to train next generation horticulturists so that they can succeed in their career. And so we, you know, try to make contribution to both the university and the society, try to be a good citizen for both places where I'm working. Yeah, I love this job. I devoted almost my time to that. You know, I know this is as a job need me to work really hard to get my research established and get my teaching established, and also also help some of the service activities in both places. With that, I would like to take any questions if you have. Thank you so much.